also looking at your bulletin to see that we're going to baptize Anya this morning, you probably would have noticed that we should have changed the gender in that last verse, right? But the Lord knows, and we're delighted that the Lord adds covenant children to His covenant community. And He does so as a testimony of His blessing and of His goodness to us. He does so that we may produce a godly seed, that we can bless our children in the gospel and in the hearing of good news that the Lord Jesus Christ has come to save them also. The water that we're going to use this morning is not special water. It came right out of the tap. It's not even purified water, bottled water. It's not sanctified water. It is just water. And that's what the Lord told us to use in the sacrament of baptism. The water itself is not going to save anyone. And this morning I have the privilege of baptizing both mother and daughter, which is always a delightful thing. And it's not going to save either of them, but it's going to be a mark, setting them aside. In the case of Neela, it's going to be a testimony that she has found faith in the Lord Jesus Christ to be the salvation of her soul. In the case of their daughter, it is going to be a testimony that this little girl is set aside for a special work, we pray, of the Holy Spirit, that the Lord is going to bless her as she is raised up in the hearing of the gospel. And we count Anya, even though she's not able to give testimony, we count her as a member of our covenant community. We count her as a member of our church. And we pray for her as we do our other covenant children, and pray that the Lord will bless her with a good and sound understanding of the gospel, that she may come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. She has to have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, not just a membership in a church. And so the quote there in your bulletins also from J.C. Ryle is appropriate when he says, "Do not fall into the old Galatian error. Think not that anyone in this day is a better guide than the apostles. Do not be ashamed of the old paths in which men walked who were inspired by the Holy Spirit. Let not the vague talk of modern teachers who speak great swelling words about Catholicity and the Church disturb your peace and make you lose your hands from the cross. Churches, ministers, and sacraments are all useful in their way, but they are not Christ crucified. Do not give Christ's honor to another. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." And so we want all of our attention to be drawn to the Lord Jesus Christ in the administration of the sacraments. And so I am going to come down here at this time and ask Neela to come forward first of all. Going to endeavor to amplify your little voice. And I'm going to ask you, Neela, to give testimony of your saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ.
I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe that He was put on this earth to die for our sins. And I believe that my salvation lies only in the Lord Jesus.
All right, thank you. And I'm going to ask you to agree to these membership vows. Neela Vakari, do you acknowledge that you have experienced repentance unto life through the understanding of the Word of God, and that you have embraced Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord? Do you acknowledge that this Bible Presbyterian Church is a part of Christ's holy visible church, and do you submit yourself to the officers of its session in accord with the teaching of Scripture in Hebrews 13? Do you affirm that you will take an active role in the ministry and discipline of the Bible Presbyterian Church, and that in the matters of grievances and offenses you will observe Matthew 18, 15 through 18, as it is set forth in the Book of Discipline in the Bible Presbyterian Church.
Thank you.
Do you affirm that you will attend the worship services of the Lord's Day according to the command of Scripture in Hebrews 10:25 and the other meetings called by the session as the Lord enables? Do you acknowledge that Christ has purchased you and owns your talents, your strengths, and your means, and that you will support this church with these and with the first of your increase according to Scripture? Very good. And so at this time, it is my pleasure. I'm going to grab this Bible here to have it ready. Nila Bikari, having answered these questions in the affirmative and having given testimony to your saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. The Lord bless you. And we're going to trust that these electronics are water resistant. All right. And now I'm going to call your husband and your daughter forward. And come over this way here. I'm going to ask you a few more questions. Carlos and Nila, do you affirm that you have experienced repentance unto life and that you have embraced Jesus Christ revealed in the Holy Scriptures as your Lord and Savior? Do you also affirm that the Lord has induced you to lay hold of His covenant promises for this child? Do you promise before God and this congregation that you will bring up this child according to His enabling in the care, admonition, and nurture of the Lord, endeavoring to bring her to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ at the earliest age? And if you will give me this sweet little child. Now, I know that Anya has eyes because I've seen them in a picture, but she's never opened her eyes for me, even at this moment. Anya Grace Bikari, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. She still doesn't have her eyes open. And now, will the members of this congregation please rise? Do you, the congregation of the Edmonton Bible Presbyterian Church, receive this child as a member of this holy covenant community to pray for her, to aid in the teaching and nurture of her, and to bless and encourage her in this Christian life? If so, say, we do. If everyone will rise at this time, we will pray. O Lord our God, we give thanks for our children, for lo, they are an heritage of Thee. They are a blessing unto us. And the fruit of the womb is Thy reward. We bless Thy name, O Lord our God, for having had mercy upon us and having given this gracious gift unto Carlos and Nila. We pray that Thou wouldst bless them as they raise her. We pray that we may be an encouragement unto them, and we pray that we may support them in every way. We pray that Thy hand of blessing may be upon Anya as she hears the gospel in her growing years, and that she may turn early unto the Lord Jesus. For we pray in His precious name. Amen. Please be seated. Amen. That's great. Let's do that every week. We'll need a few more children. We'll need to have souls saved and brought in, and we trust the Lord will answer that prayer as well. I might mention also that Jonathan Norton, who is in England right now, has been released from his membership at his church in Salisbury, England, and is intending to become a member of this church just as soon as he returns, which I think is going to be on the 20th, but somewhere after the 20th, he's going to give his profession of faith as well. So the Lord is blessing us, and we're grateful.
We're grateful for the Lord's mercies. And if you will turn in your Bibles now to Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6. And we are going to read here some words which are not going to be all pleasantness and light, but they are words of reproof. Jeremiah was sent several years after the prophet Isaiah to reprove the people of the Lord who had gone on in their sin. And he was a prophet who is known as the weeping prophet. He grieved to see the Lord's people stray from the way of the Lord. And so let us read with particular diligence. Let us receive all the word of the Lord, and let us read with attentiveness. Hear ye now the word of the Lord from Jeremiah chapter 6. O ye children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee out of the midst of Jerusalem, and blow the trumpet in Tekoa, and set up a sign of fire in Beth-Hakkerem. For evil appeareth out of the north, and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come unto her. They shall pitch their tents against her round about. They shall feed everyone in his place. Prepare ye war against her. Arise, and let us go up at noon. Woe unto us, for the day goeth away, for the shadows of the evening are stretched out. Arise, and let us go by night, and let us destroy her palaces. For thus hath the Lord of hosts said, Hew ye down trees, and cast a mount against Jerusalem. This is the city to be visited. She is holy oppression in the midst of her. As a fountain casteth out her waters, so she casteth out her wickedness. Violence and spoil is heard in her. Before me continually is grief and wounds. Be thou instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from thee, lest I make thee desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean the remnant of Israel as a vine. Turn back thine hand as a grape gatherer into the baskets. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, a word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. Therefore I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary with holding in. I will pour it out upon the children abroad, and upon the assembly of young men together. For even the husband with the wife shall be taken, the aged with him that is full of days. And their houses shall be turned unto others, with their fields and wives together. For I will stretch out my hand upon the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord. For from the least of them, even unto the greatest of them, every one is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. They have healed also the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, Stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, We will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, Hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, We will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth, behold, I will bring evil upon this people, even the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not hearkened unto my words, nor to my law, but rejected it. To what purpose cometh there to me incense from Sheba, and the sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet unto me. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall upon them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus saith the Lord, behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be raised from the sides of the earth. They shall lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses set in array as men for war against thee, O daughter of Zion. We have heard the fame thereof. Our hands wax feeble. Anguish hath taken hold of us, and pain as of a woman in travail. Go not forth into the field, nor walk by the way, for the sword of the enemy and fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, gird thee with sackcloth, and wallow thyself in ashes. Make thee mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation. For the spoiler shall suddenly come upon us. I have set thee for a tower and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. They are all grievous revolters, walking with slanders. They are brass and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows are burned. The lead is consumed of the fire. The founder melteth in vain, for the wicked are not plucked away. Reprobate silver shall men call them, because the Lord hath rejected them. Let us look unto the Lord in prayer. Our God and our Father, we pray that a great work would be done in our midst this day through the preaching of Thy Word, which Thou hast ordained to the salvation of souls and the building up of Thy church. We yield ourselves unto Thee as weak men in need of Thy great power and Thy strength. Send Thy Spirit, undertake for the preaching of Thy Word, that it may go forth in the strength and the might of Thy power, and that we may see Jesus only. For we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, if you're paying attention to the reading of that word, you might suggest, it might be suggested that Jeremiah could almost have been writing for the Edmonton Journal, except that the Edmonton Journal wouldn't have him. But it's very up to date, isn't it? In many ways, there is oppression in the land, and there is deceit in the land. There is no shame in the land. Verse 15, were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. So here they are engaged in gross immorality, in great vile wickedness, and they do it without shame. They do it without fear of reproach, because it's not politically correct to speak against sin, to call anyone's behavior wicked or sinful. We hardly hear the word sin anymore. And so as humanity, as the great masses support one another in their rebellion against the Lord, the result is that the shame diminishes, and more evil and wicked things are done, and they are just let go. Everything just falls by the wayside. And how is it with your soul today? Are you sensitive to sin? Are you sensitive to the evil that is an assault against God? And our own selfishness is often so readily seen in the fact that we want to identify sin or define sin as my having been offended, or my having had my paths crossed or my plans crossed, instead of an assault against God. God is the lawgiver. God is the author of this word. And it is to our Creator that we will one day be accountable. And in the midst of all of this vileness and all of this wickedness, even to the point where in the second half of the chapter, the prophet Jeremiah says, the Lord says, I am going to set a stumbling block before my people. I'm going to hinder even the things that may give them over to belief. At the end of the chapter, he says, the Lord has called them reprobate silver, or men shall call them reprobate silver, because the Lord hath rejected them. What a terrible sentence to hear. The Lord has rejected his people. The Lord has rejected, when all along they thought that God was altogether such an one as themselves. They thought that God was really, there's no standards higher than the ones that I could have. How could anyone have higher standards than me? And God surely doesn't have higher standards than me. And when you begin to think in that way, then God becomes your servant and you become the judge. And you begin delivering judgments and you begin declaring what things are right and wrong and which things measure up and which things don't. And we become armchair quarterbacks. Everyone has a great opinion on what Ottawa should do or what the premier should do. We all are great prognosticators. But what about the great judgment, the great things of life and the matters of eternity? And so I want to look with you this morning, especially at verse 16, because in verse 16, in the midst of all of that wickedness, the prophet Jeremiah pleads with the people. And here we see mercy in the midst of judgment. God's laws have been violated. Foolishness has characterized even the people of Israel, as foolishness characterizes our own land. And so he delivers this word from the Lord in verse 16 of Jeremiah 6. Stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. And that especially, I hope that nobody here today says, we will not walk therein. Those are dreadful things to hear. When the Lord pleads with you for your soul, pleads with you to take the sensible action, to do the right thing, and then say, we refuse to listen to the word of the Lord. We're just tuning out. We're not going to listen. And this is a word for us today. You could hardly believe that Jeremiah was addressing the problem of busyness. Can you imagine that the citizens of Israel in the time of Jeremiah were more busy than you or I in this day? Well, we're running around here and running around there. And he says, stand still. Stand still. I don't know if you've seen on TV, they have these, they can do amazing things with video effects. But they have these ads once in a while where one person is just walking very calmly and very serenely down the street, but everybody around him is moving around at 100 miles an hour. And you kind of figure, that, you know, it's an appealing ad because you figure, that's what I want to do. That's what I need to be. And whatever they're selling, a bank or a cologne or, I don't know, some kind of tea probably. Probably not coffee, but tea. You know, just relax and let the world go by. Well, Jeremiah isn't saying exactly that, but he's saying you've got to stop your hurriedness and your busyness. And you have to think about the things that are important. Stand still. Stand ye in thy way. So you've been running on this path. You've been busy with all kinds of things, but you have forgotten about the Lord. And we are. We get too busy for the really important things. In fact, I propose to you that that's one of the reasons that you get busy. You make yourself busy so you don't have to think about the important things. You see, that's not a new problem. That's the same problem that Jeremiah had in his day. And so if I have to stop for an hour or two on the Lord's day or give the whole day over to the Lord, that would really devastate my spiritual life. I'd have to think about who God is. I'd have to think about who I am. I'd have to consider what God wants me to do, what God requires of me. I'd have to stop and think about how I measure up to God's standards instead of measuring ourselves amongst ourselves and professing to be wise. Stand ye in the ways. Stop. Stop in your business. Stop in your running around. And see, he says that secondly, search. Look out for what are the important things. Perhaps you haven't considered for a while what are the really, truly important things. We think we know what the important things are. And it's really, really difficult. No, it's not. It's impossible to consider the really important things. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. That's a command of Scripture. It's an imperative. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. And I urge this upon you. You may have no interest in spiritual things, but the Lord says you must seek my face. You must follow after me. Lord, how can I seek? Ask for his help. Is he going to turn you away? If you say, I can't do even the things that you command me to do, will he refuse the Holy Spirit, Jesus says to them that ask him? Say, Lord, I need your help. I need your Holy Spirit, so that I can even seek to study, I can even stand still. And then I need to seek the Lord. And even the psalmist says, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. My eyes are veiled, they're shielded. There's all kinds of things getting in the way, the busyness of life, all kinds of excuses and reasons. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law, that I won't just behold the judgments and the terrors, but that I may behold the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to behold the judgments and the terrors. They are real judgments that are going to come upon sinners. This word that Jeremiah gives in the 6th chapter, they're not vain words. The problem is everybody thought they were vain words. Everybody thought, now what's Jeremiah getting all excited about? He sees things that aren't there. We're all happy. And they had pastors and priests and teachers and prophets saying, peace, peace. I know how to give you peace. I'll give you peace. And he said, there's no peace there. It was a surface peace. I might say the kind of peace that they're negotiating in Kenya right now, if you've been keeping up with the news there. It's not going to be a long-lasting peace. There's great inner turmoil. And they can put a lid on it for a while and subdue the expression of it. But you just see a lot of young men who are using this as an excuse to vent their emotions and to loot and plunder and murder in great wickedness. And that's really at the heart of every man. Stand ye in the ways and see or search and ask for the old path. Now here's a problem with a modern day church that wants to look for some new innovative doctrine. We need something that's going to motivate the people of the Lord. We need some new direction. And if we have a new teaching and a new instruction, that's going to get the people going. Does anyone remember a book that was sold in Christian bookstores called The Prayer of Jabez. It wasn't that long ago. It's not being sold anymore. It's not there. Because people are given over to faddishness. And they read that book, and everybody else had to read it. And you had The Prayer of Jabez, and The Prayer of Jabez for teens, and for wives, and for husbands, and for pastors, and oh, they were making money hand over fist. They had to have your T-shirts and whatever else you had to have. They were marketing God. It was a great blasphemy. It doesn't matter how much they quoted one verse of the Scriptures. It was a blasphemy because it was a great abuse of God's Word. And it hasn't done the church any good because now they're looking for some new thing. And already we're seeing the passing of the purpose-driven church by Rick Warren, right? Everybody was reading The Purpose-Driven Church. But let me tell you, brothers and sisters, the Lord's people were looking for the Spirit-driven church. Because the purpose behind that book was to make somebody wealthy and to gain notoriety for his name. And he's done that. He's done that well, but he's an evil man. And he's wrought great wickedness in Africa also and told all manner of lies. But he's got a purpose-driven church. Everybody knows the name of Rick Warren. Do you want a Spirit-driven church? Do you want a Scripture-driven church that's honoring to the Lord? That's what we need to pray for. We've got an evening this week devoted to prayer for revival. The Lord is going to revive His work in the midst of the year. We don't need some new doctrine. Does Charles Hodges boast that no new doctrine had ever arisen out of Princeton? We're satisfied with the old paths. And we need to be satisfied with the old paths. And what are the old paths that we ought to seek out? The old ways. If you just turn over to Jeremiah chapter 7. And verse 21, the prophet says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifices and eat flesh. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. But this thing commanded I them, saying, Obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you." So the sacrifices and the offerings came later, but the Lord says, in the day that I brought your forefathers out of Egypt, what did I give them? I gave them my commandments. I gave them my law. I gave them my standards of righteousness. And I revealed them to myself to them as a holy God, as a God who is righteous, as a God who has great commands, as a God who doesn't lower His standards, a God whose standards remain the same at all times. And those standards were first revealed. If you want to go to the really old paths, we'll go to the old paths of Eden and of paradise. Let's walk through those paths for a while when there was no sin, when Adam and Eve walked with God and had communion with Him. And God said, don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And they went and ate of that tree and they were expelled